Welcome to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Whether your family has been on this journey for years or you're just getting started, we're here to support and encourage you along the way. And now your hosts, Lynette Ezell and Tara Melber.
Welcome back to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Tara, I've been noticing in circles of fostering and adoption that there's a buzzword.
It is.
Birth order.
Birth order.
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
Exactly. And everyone has an opinion about it. Mm-hmm. You and I have both disrupted birth order in our families, just what the Lord called us to. But there are no blanket statements in adoption and foster care, especially, you know, with anything.
There really aren't. We cannot put the Lord in a box. So the path that the Lord calls one family is not really going to look the same for every family.
That's right.
It could look totally different. And that applies also to the ages of the children that God desires to place in our home. So we're all crafted by the mind of God who knows our limit, who knows no limits or boundaries, and our families are really a prime example of this God-given uniqueness.
That's right. And so if you think about it, there's more than 500,000 foster children in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Think about those numbers.
That's big.
Yeah, it is. Just and I'm not even talking about the orphans in the world.
Right.
Just in North America. And so it's not wise to limit our families to what the world says is best for mm-hmm. us. If there's that many foster kids in the U.S., it stands to reason that the Lord's going to build families in an unconventional manner.
Right. And we're already going to look unconventional. So whatever he calls you to do, you've got to know and be able to walk in it with the faith that he's going to equip you to do that.
Well, I hope you don't mind, listeners, today. We just want to talk about, just give you some opinions mm-hmm. from us, some things we've learned through this process. And I know it's going to, like you said, Tara, it's going to look different for everyone. What God calls us all to is different. I mean, even in Psalm 32:8, the Lord tells his people, I will instruct you. Mm-hmm. I will teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you.
That's right. Well, and to be clear, there really isn't a perfect age or a family sweet spot when it comes to welcoming a new child into your home. So it's exciting and messy all at the same time, no matter their ages.
That's right.
But the joy of being used by the Father to love others and embrace them as a family is really priceless.
It is. It truly is a living, breathing example of the heart of God and a clear picture of the gospel. Mm-hmm. How many times have we said that?
So true. Well, and, you know, I'll say it again. Giving your child siblings, teaching them to live beyond themselves, it's really one of the best gifts that we can give our children.
It is. We're changing the scope of how children see Christ,
mm-hmm.
the children we bring in our home
mm-hmm.
and the children that we're already raising.
Right.
We're changing what they see, you know, how they see the gospel.
That's right.
But, you know, parents must be the ones to pray and wisely prepare themselves and their bio kids for the
mm-hmm.
changes ahead. We have to enter this through prayer.
That's exactly right. It's so true. And we have to really reiterate and discuss the sacrifices that are going to come with a new normal. It requires everybody's all hands on deck.
24/7. Absolutely.
It's a family missional moment.
And so how do we do that? So I was thinking about this. I know one thing we did, and we did it with you guys
mm-hmm.
Years and years ago, is you begin to build community with foster and adoptive families before you start this process.
Right. I, in fact, just told somebody that last night. They were asking, how do you prepare your bio kids and how do you really prepare your family for this? And one of the things that I said was, adoptive and foster families are some of the most generous people with their time.
Yeah.
And so get to know them.
Yeah.
Look and see what does it really look like on a day-to-day basis. Really begin to build community, because only others walking this journey can really empathize and understand with what you're going through.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a family, as we minister to these foster families, we're giving our kids a dose of reality.
That's right.
You know, I remember taking my girls when they're married now, but my younger girls, before we even began adopting, we were going to adoption fairs, getting
mm-hmm.
close with Tony Brewer, who we've had
right.
on here before, his ministry, and just trying to educate ourselves to see, here's what this looks like. Oh, there are families
mm-hmm.
that have Chinese daughters that get
right.
together after the fact. And, you know, and here's what it looks like when they start school, and here's what it looks like the first month at home.
Mm-hmm.
That's where rubber meets the road.
It really is. And it's really easy to want to keep our families in a really sweet little protective bubble. And that's really not preparing them for what the world has to offer. So often the Lord calls us to do really outlandish things
mm-hmm.
that don't make sense to the world. But we have to be able to navigate that and see what's the Lord really calling us to do, because we don't want to do something outside of his plan, because that can be disastrous.
That's That's right. And so that leads us into another point that parents must be sure that they are willing to emotionally support and attach to all the children in the family. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that, we say it over and over, this is not a feeling. This is being mm-hmm. the adult in the room. This mm-hmm. is a decision to love. I'm going to love this child.
Right. So as you're seeking the Lord to determine the birth order yeah. and when to bring in, what ages to bring into your family, you do have to ask yourself, do I have the capacity to emotionally love and support a child that's going to be challenging? Do I have the capacity to parent past the age that I've already parented?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
So naturally, our flesh is going to tend to draw closer to certain personalities. I get that, of kids. And we, kids and personalities that we prefer. But as the adult, we have to be very careful to control this.
That's right. Because Christ calls us to see value and worth in every single child in our home. And think about the age of our kids now. Mm-hmm. Sometimes one's doing a little better than the other. It's just a little easier
every
to love.
Day.
And, think about your marriage. Mm-hmm. You go through seasons and ups and downs. But every child will need time and attention from you
as
the parent for the rest
forever.
Of their lives. And I know your big thing is know your family's capacity.
Know your family's capacity. I was reading an article on desiringgod.org the other day, and this author says, you must come to grips with your limits. So when we jump into foster care and adoption, we want to save the world. I don't want to just have one foster child. I want to have 30 foster children.
Yeah, charge hell with the water gun.
Exactly. Yeah. I just want to keep going. But he says you must come to grips with your limits, resolve to lay your head down each night in peace, and trust in a sovereign Lord that is doing a million things that you cannot see.
Yeah.
When your ability to love, shepherd, monitor, and care for children is exceeded, you end up with brokenness, not faithfulness.
Yeah, that's good.
It's not, I think I can solve the world's problems. If you're changing the life of one child, you're changing the life of a child and a legacy of children and grandchildren along the way. So know your capacity and know what you can do at this moment.
That's right, because every child is going to need time from you in that family. And can I parent a 10-year-old when I've only ever done a 4-year-old?
Right.
And so make sure, one thing I would really zone in on is make sure that you probe deep into the heart of the oldest child in your family mm-hmm. before you bring another child
yes.
in.
Absolutely. I think you need to ask questions about how do they think they would handle a new sibling,
right.
especially if that means a change in the birth order.
That's right. Because the feeling of displacement or losing one's family status is less if the new child is of a different gender mm-hmm. sometimes too. So you can take that into consideration.
Well, for our family, of course, we're talking a lot of this is our opinion, but it is also us telling you to seek hard after the Lord.
Yeah.
But for our family specifically, when we started adopting, we had an 11, 9, and 6-year-old. Boy, girl, boy.
Boy, girl, boy. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we started off and said, it was totally taboo to adopt out of birth order. That was not something that our agency wanted us to do.
No, they did not.
And
yeah.
we didn't want to. That wasn't our desire. But as time went on, we received a call from our program director and said, I have a child that I think I've met her several times, and I think she'd really do well in your home. I've gotten to know your family. I know your family dynamics. And we were super excited thinking this child's going to be under 6. Well, it turns out she was indeed 10 months older than our youngest biological child.
Who was a boy.
So I freaked out, of course, and talked to David about it. And we did pray, and of course, we sought wise counsel, but ultimately, we determined that our program director with our agency, who was opposed really to birth order, really thought this would be a good fit for us. In addition to that, our daughter came in as the youngest daughter, so our oldest daughter didn't lose her place as the oldest sister, and then our son was still the baby of the family.
Yeah.
So has it brought some challenges? It has brought, adoption and foster care bring challenges, but our kids are really close and they really did super well. So it was like I had a little set of twins in there, and it wasn't what I was expecting, but the Lord did stretch us and it really worked out for the very best. I wouldn't change a thing about
it. Right, right. And we've often said that as well at our house too. But just keeping your youngest in his spot for a while before you added the other boys, I think was really, and you knew the heart of your daughter, your oldest daughter.
And we talked to her about it extensively. So, and yes, and then we did wait three or two more years before we brought in another child. So then when Jonathan lost his position as baby of the family, that was probably more traumatic than when we brought our daughter home.
Yeah. And then he became big brother and he's just done a fantastic job with it.
Yes.
So waited a while to do that. But you do have to take all that into consideration. We had two older girls. Then we had a boy in the middle.
Right.
And we had adopted two little girls.
Yes.
We got a call about taking a 12-year-old boy. But we knew that our son in the middle of all those women, he could really use a brother.
Right.
And we weren't looking to adopt again. Some friends had met this little boy and our hearts just fell in love with him. He was, you know, he was ready to be in a home. It was an international adoption. Man, I wouldn't change a thing.
And you all did, you prayed, you sought the Lord together. You had family meetings. I remember all that. But you have to tell everybody what your agency did to make sure that you were really prepared for bringing in a 12-year-old boy.
Oh, they took us to the mat. They got my husband on the phone. They got Kevin on the phone. They got me on the phone. And they roughed us up. And they really challenged why we would bring this boy in the middle of all these girls. And I mean, it really made us stop and think. You know, other than being offended, we really weren't offended. But I remember Kevin saying, look, we'll sleep in the hallway if we have to. We know the Lord's called us to bring this child into our home. And so we just had a really deep peace about it. We were like, you guys, it's not what we were looking for, but it's truly what the Lord called us to. We had to make some adjustments. Both boys were in one room, you know, and that we had some rules set up. We've talked about that in earlier podcasts, but we did have some guidelines set up. He had been living like that in a children's home already. So it didn't. So we knew all that. And we began to probe into who he was as a person before we brought him into our home. We began to learn a lot about him. And we began to see this
will be a fit.
This will be a fit. This will work. Now, has it been super easy all the time? Is raising kids ever?
No.
No, absolutely not. But it has, like, I agree with you. I would just absolutely not change a thing.
Right. Well, I think that we have to really think about those things and really ask ourselves the hard questions. And that's what I really appreciated. I remember when your agency was calling and grilling you guys about it, because it gave you a window and an idea of, okay, this is what we will be looking at or looking for. And so you didn't go into it blindly. You went into it eyes wide open. And you prepared yourself even more than you may have if they hadn't grilled you so much.
Oh, it was perfect for us. It really was. So let's kind of change tracks here. What would you say to a young couple that maybe have a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old and they're considered taking a child maybe 6 months older than their toddler? What do you think about that?
Well, there seems to be less disruption if the oldest child is under the age of 3, since they're since the kind of oldest in the family meter isn't really firmly set.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
In other words, they haven't really settled into the power of being the oldest.
Right. And they don't really remember life without the other one.
Right.
You know, like we brought another little girl home when our youngest was 4. They don't remember life without each other.
Exactly. That's a really good point. So I do think that if you've got children that are, you know, that age or younger, that you could bring in an additional child of that age or in that age range, as long as you feel like you've got, we've used this word before already today, as long as you feel like you have the capacity to be able to handle.
Yes, because you said something good earlier. You said it was almost like raising twins.
Yes.
When you brought home your first adopted daughter.
Right. And the Lord didn't give me twins by birth. Praise Jesus for that, because he probably knew I couldn't handle it. But it was like having, I mean, we started school the same.
Exactly.
We're both learning to read at the same time or doing math facts at the same time. They were school age.
But
so
you're doing double duty.
Double duty. So you have to ask, does my husband travel Monday through Friday? Can I handle 3 little people under 3 years old? People do it all the time. Your daughters both have 3 kids under 3 years old.
Yes.
So it's just hard work no matter what.
Right.
But you know yourself.
Yeah.
And you don't have to feel guilty to say, I just don't think I can do that.
Yeah, and I tell couples a lot that have say, two or three biological children. They've taken in two foster children. You can see that's going mm-hmm. to adoption. Take a breather.
Right.
Let's stop and focus on these kids for, I have no shame in that. Let's
right.
stop and focus on these kids for a little bit, praying through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, raising five children is hard,
it
or
is.
Six children. But let me tell you something I've noticed about larger families. They don't seem as affected by birth order disruption.
Right, because it's already chaotic.
Yeah, it's already there. Yeah. And so there's so many different relationships already going on that this change seems less noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's amazing to me in large families, the ones you think that'll pair up don't
right.
are not usually the ones that pair up,
mm-hmm.
you know? And there's this buddy system going on. Have you noticed that
I
with
have.
Large families?
I really have. And it does naturally kick in. And they're already, our children are already used to crazy schedules,
yes.
busyness of time. But we do have to still be really intentional. When you were saying earlier today that every one of your kids is going to need attention
yes.
from you at some point during the day, that often we have to just be highly aware of those who kind of, you know, sit back a bit and don't seem as though they need the attention. They're typically the ones that really do.
Yeah. One of my quietest child, you know, when she was little,
mm-hmm.
we brought her sister home from Ethiopia. She would say, she was used to being the youngest, you
right.
know, and the little Asian princess there, just adorable. And she would say, my left tank is empty. And that was her way of telling us, I need you to sit down and let me
right.
sit in your lap for a little
That's
while.
That's right.
Because our family was so large. I had teenagers driving.
Mm-hmm.
Things were coming and going. And she could get a little lost in the shuffle sometimes.
Right. I think something you do have to consider when you're talking about the large families and all of that is that eventually all those little people are going to become teenagers.
Oh, yeah.
Eventually they are going to go to college and be young adults. And when you've got...
And have fender benders.
And have fender benders. More
yeah.
than you would really hope
yeah, exactly.
would occur. So you do have to sort of look ahead. It's not all going to be diapers and play dates. Eventually you have the harder emotional things that are going to come up. And so you have to just, and the Lord does give you the grace that you need. I never would have thought that I could be the mom of six children in a million
oh,
years.
No, I didn't come into the world capable of any of
Mm-mm.
that. Yeah.
So the Lord has definitely stretched me and shown me that it's only by His grace and only because He has the master plan that I can even survive. But you do need to kind of look further ahead down the road.
So let's park here for a minute
mm-hmm.
to seek wise counsel from those that know your family best. Now, you can't go into this offended.
Right.
You can't go up, you know, you can't go into this with your getting your feelings hurt. You've
right.
got to seek wise counsel from people who love you
mm-hmm.
and that you can privately talk and pray with them and just say, hey, help us here.
Right.
And so I would really seek wise counsel. The first thing I would ask those who you trust and what we did,
mm-hmm.
is your family generally welcoming and gracious toward others?
That's like, a great question.
Yeah, it is. Like, do
really
we come
good.
Across as approachable and welcoming,
mm-hmm.
or are we more withdrawn and, you know, kind of to ourselves? Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense because whether or not we want to admit it, we are all selfish human
yeah.
beings. And so that doesn't mean that if somebody tells you, we don't think you need to do this, that they think you're horrible people. But they do maybe see things within you and within your family that might be challenges further ahead. And maybe the Lord just needs to reveal those to you so that you can grow in it.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. It just means, oh, I've been made aware of maybe a sin weakness that I have and I need to grow in that.
We had to make a lot of changes
right.
to do it. I mean, the Lord did a lot of work on us before He even let us have one, you know, another child brought into our home and still working on us.
Right.
You know, but we realized, oh, okay, we have really busy schedules. We need to make, you know, we're really centered around this one's sports
mm-hmm.
or whatever. And we had to step back and reevaluate that and kind of take a breather and say, okay, we need to make some changes here.
There was a family that we came in contact with and they have two children who are really heavily involved in extracurricular activities, like super involved. And they received a call to take, no, they have, yeah, they have two children. So they received a call to take not one set of twins, but two sets of
oh,
twins.
Oh my goodness.
Little people, like under the age
two
of five.
Two sets of twins.
So of course, as the church typically does, that sounds like, wow, let's rally around and
mm-hmm.
let's gather things together, which was just coming from very generous hearts, people wanting to do what they could. And so my question to this gal was, okay, let's talk practicality. When you've got these two sets of twins, first of all, do you have a car that will carry
we'll accommodate
all
everyone.
Of those.
Right.
Number two, who's going to be the driver for your other children when you are...
And that's a biggie.
It is a
it
big
is.
One.
Yeah.
So it all goes back to really knowing who you are as a family. So they did not accept that particular placement, but soon later did accept a placement that still had its own sets of challenges, but was practically far better off and far better of a fit. And, you know, all of this is not faulting a social worker for calling and asking someone to take
no,
two sets of twins.
No, they're just trying to place children in
exactly.
the best homes they can.
But you just have to know it's okay if you have to say no because something isn't working.
And so when you talk with another family, this family that you
right?
trust,
mm-hmm.
Maybe ask them, like, how's your interaction been with our oldest child or with
right.
our children? Like, does he enjoy other kids? Does mm-hmm. this does she value others? Does she seem on board when you talk to her when I'm not around or
right.
him? You know, when you talk to my middle school child, do they seem on board mm-hmm. with this?
Because they have to be on board.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing to say we really feel like the Lord's called us and we want you to come along, but you do have to have buy-in from your family because
yeah,
it alters everything.
Everything.
And when the days are very difficult, then you all have to have that stake in the ground to say, yes, this is hard, but we're all in. We're all in. And so what does that have to mean? Does that mean you can't go to basketball practice tonight because your brother is struggling? It could. And does that stink? Yes. But are we going to make it? We are.
Yeah.
So we do have to. I think that's a great question to
ask.
Well,
I don't know if I've ever shared this. I grew up in a home that my mom did kinship care.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went from being the oldest daughter to being the middle daughter.
Mm.
So we went from two girls to three. And I went to middle child status.
Oh, mercy.
I was also entering high school.
Ugh.
And so, right, but I adored her. It was really hard for a mm-hmm. few years. It was really hard. But I think my mom saw me. I enjoyed hanging out with high school girls. And
right.
so to me, she was beautiful and I really liked her. And we formed a friendship. We shared a room,
right.
you know, but there were hard times. You know, there were mm-hmm. things to work through. But it was just kinship care. So it wasn't, mm-hmm. you know, a permanent adoption or anything like that. She is still in our lives and super close to our family. And it's a beautiful relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord... You know, he navigated that from beginning
right.
to end. But I know my parents were seeking the Lord in that.
Right.
But I remember going from oldest child to middle child and thinking, okay,
here we go. That's really
yeah.
great. That's great. Well, I think another question you have to ask yourself and ask those who know your family best is your family or does my family seem as though we would be willing to get help early on and throughout the process?
Oh, that's a good one.
Am I open enough and vulnerable enough
yes.
to say, I'm struggling here, how could we get help? So just knowing yourself and knowing your family. So the deal is this with birth order. There are lots of people who are totally against adopting or fostering out of birth order and others who don't see it as a big deal. And you and I have both seen it happen in really great ways
yes.
and in really crummy ways. We've seen newlyweds bring home a sibling set of five and
rock it.
And yeah. though it's been difficult, they've asked themselves these hard questions. They've sought wise counsel. They've sought the Lord. They've read their word. They've prayed and they've sensed that the Holy Spirit was leading this way and it went well. And then we've also seen families who started the process and maybe they had an age range and the wait was longer than they anticipated. And so they stretched their age range or stretched it. And though they did it out of a compassionate heart with no, you know, ill intent whatsoever, it has been disastrous. And so, you know, we say all of these things to consider when it comes to birth order, but you really just have to seek hard after the Lord and not take something that you know ahead of time in your heart you're not going to be able to handle.
Right. And then on the other side of that coin,
mm-hmm.
we also have to take into consideration it may look different than what we thought it was going to
exactly.
look like.
Exactly.
With this many kids mm-hmm. in foster care, with this many orphans in the world,
right.
the Lord is going to build, he builds the best families.
Right.
And he's going to do it in unconventional ways.
That's exactly true.
Well, just what you're saying, Tara, we've said over and over, you cannot remove the Lord
mm-hmm.
from any detail of this calling.
That's right.
We have to pray through the entire process. And I'm still praying over my kids every
right.
day. And some are married, right? But that includes, though, the age of your bio children and the children the Lord desires to add in your family. Pray. Saturate the decision with prayer. Ask the Lord to bind their hearts before they're placed in your family. Mm-hmm. You know, the time to start praying is not right when you get a placement or you get a referral picture. It's before all that comes together, and to continue to seek wise counsel.
That's exactly right. I think those are very wise words. And it's exciting to me when you step into the waters of foster care and adoption, what the Lord will do. It's always what we're not anticipating.
It's an incredible ride.
It's a great ride. Well, thanks so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. If you would like to, or if you'd be willing to leave us a review on iTunes, it helps get the word out about the podcast and all of these great stories and the information that we've had the privilege to share. So go to iTunes today, share a review with us, and we'll see you next time.
You have been listening to the Adopting and Fostering Home, a resource of the North American Mission Board. For more information about today's podcast and other relevant resources, visit sendrelief.org.